All right. What a beautiful song. I am not alone. We need to hear those words in our Christian life, don't we? That we're not alone. So grateful to be here today. Good morning to those who are in person and those who are online. We had a family vacation last week. Went to San Diego. And we went to SeaWorld. And I realized the older I get, the more scarier roller coasters are. You go up there and you're like, is this a good idea? And so I went on a couple roller coasters with the family, but then I noticed I started to lose my voice because, you know, you go on a roller coaster, what do? You scream. So I took a pause and said, I got to speak on Sunday. I even lost my voice a little bit, so I had to stop riding the roller coasters. But it is kind of funny. You go with the family, and my little niece, Gracie, is about this height. I weigh a lot more than she does. I have a couple of decades on her. And she's going on the roller coasters like there's nothing, like a champ. And I'm hesitant to go on because I'm scared. But pray for my voice today. I lost it during the week, but the Lord knows. He's always there. Amen. So before we continue with today's message, if we can please bow our heads in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we are grateful every Sunday to come and worship you, Lord. We come in the morning to remember what you did for us on the cross and partake of the bread and wine that represents your body and your blood that was shed for us. And then we come here in the second half after having a break. We come to hear a beautiful song that gives you praise and glory. And we do praise you that you are always with us, Lord. We are not alone on this world and this journey that we have. And we thank you for that. And Lord, we come to hear a message, Lord. No message is used for man's glory. It's used for your glory. No message can be powerful unless it speaks to the speaker first. And so I ask for your help today, Lord, on a beautiful subject that you spoke to me, that you've worked on my life and you've showed me your ways. And I pray that you help me with this message, Lord. Give it by your Holy Spirit. Guide it, Lord, by your power. Use it for your glory, that every ear that hears it may take something from the message, Lord, and apply it to their lives, Lord, and use it for your glory. We pray all these things in your most precious and holy name. Amen. I have a story for you. A stressed-out Christian was late for a crucial job interview and couldn't find a parking spot anywhere downtown. I think we've been in that situation before where you're stressed out, you're looking for a parking spot, you can't find anything. So the Christian, in a panic, he looked up and prayed, Lord, if you find me a parking spot right now, I will start going to church every Sunday. Apparently, he wasn't going every Sunday. I will read my Bible, and I will tithe faithfully. So he has a promise to the Lord, find me a parking spot, I'll do these things. The story continues. Suddenly, a massive SUV pulled out of a spot directly in front of the building. The man looked up again and smiled and said, never mind, Lord, I found one. Ouch. Probably didn't get the job. But that's what we do. Right? We seek the Lord guidance in our life. And when he guides us, he answers a prayer. May we acknowledge him for it. He gave himself credit. That's how we are in the flesh. But for today's message, I want to focus on one word, and the word is guidance. Guidance. Andrew mentioned it a little bit when he was up here talking about the song that we sang before Caitlin sang the solo. The word guidance is the act of providing advice, direction, or assistance to help someone make decisions, solve problems, or navigate a situation. Throughout life, we all need guidance. We get guidance for all areas and various situations. Without seeking guidance, you're less likely to be successful in life. When people seek guidance, who do they trust? Well, someone with knowledge or experience or proven success in the area they need help. Someone they can trust. Someone who genuinely cares for their well-being. Whose advice is either personally trusted or recommended by someone they do trust. Athletes turn to coaches. Students rely on counselors. Consumers consult experts before purchasing a major purchase, like an appliance or a car. Job seekers learn from professionals who walk the path before them. In these cases, when we get guidance, what does it do? It provides us wisdom. We get direction. We get confidence in the journey ahead that we are taking. But I have to point something out. Without the Lord involved in someone's life, nothing is guaranteed. You may seek guidance, but does that mean everything will work out? You will get what you wanted, that you will have success, that you will have true contentment, happiness, and peace. That's a life without the Lord guiding a person. But today I want to reflect on the greatest guide that we could ever have in our lives, the Lord God Himself. As Christians, we are blessed to know that we have a loving God who desires to lead us in our life, lead us until we reach our promised land of heaven, a God who promises to guide us in every season and every aspect of our lives. We are truly never alone, like Caitlin's saying. Truly, He's the ultimate guide, and that's the title of my message today, The Ultimate Guide. And here are my 2 points that you will hear throughout the message today. One, remember who is our guide, because we can forget easily. And 2, trust and obey. We hear trust and obey all the time, but it's easier said than done. So you will hear these points throughout the message today. So why is the Lord the ultimate guide? Well, I found this answer on a Christian website, and I love what it said. It says, the Lord God is considered ultimate because He's the supreme source of all existence and power. Can't get better than that. It continues, as the Creator, He possesses absolute authority, perfect knowledge, and omnipotence, meaning there's no higher power or standard of truth beyond Him. Who else can we describe in those words? No one but our Lord and our God we can. See, God as an ultimate guide provides wisdom, comfort, and direction in our lives. We as believers have prayer. He guides us in prayer. We the believers have Scripture. That's what we need to read and study God's Word. Again, Andrew, you said a little bit of that today. We have promptings of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. It gives us wisdom, discernment, on the path that we should take, and gives us purpose in the journey that God wants us to live. If the Lord is truly the ultimate guide, then what does guidance look like? Oh, thankfully, the Bible gives wonderful examples of His guidance, and we have a powerful one in Numbers chapter 9. In Numbers chapter 9, we'll be reading verses 15 to 23. It describes the glory cloud which covered the tabernacle. So before we read the scriptures, let's talk about the cloud and the tabernacle, which many here know this, but let's continue to set the context. The tabernacle was a portable sanctuary built by the Israelites in the wilderness, ordered by God to Moses. It served as a physical dwelling place for His presence and was the central site of worship while the Israelites traveled to the promised land. So that's the tabernacle. What's the cloud? Well, the cloud was a visible supernatural manifestation of God's presence. And so let's read Numbers chapter 9, 15 to 23. Listen to the details. There's a lot to repeat in this portion of Scripture, but it is very powerful. Let's read starting on verse 15. On the day the tabernacle, the tent of the covenant law, was set up, the cloud covered it. From evening till morning, the cloud above the tabernacle looked like fire. That is how it continued to be. The cloud covered it, and at night it looked like fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out. Whenever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out. And at His command, they encamped. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. When the cloud remained over the tabernacle a long time, the Israelites obeyed the Lord's order and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was over the tabernacle only a few days. At the Lord's command, they would encamp, and then at His command, they would set out. Sometimes the cloud stayed only from evening till morning, and when it lifted in the morning, they set out. Whether by day or by night, whenever the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days, a month, or a year, the Israelites would remain in camp and not set out, but when it lifted, they would set out. At the Lord's command, they encamped, and at the Lord's command, they set out. They obeyed the Lord's order in accordance with his command through Moses. Pretty powerful. What a beautiful picture to see the cloud lift and then settle. But these verses show Israelites' complete dependence on God's guidance, led by a pillar of cloud and appearance of fire by night. Whenever the cloud lifted over the tabernacle, they were to set out from camp and march forward. When the cloud settled, the people were to stop and pitch their tents. The cloud is a symbol of God guiding his people. I love these verses. I read it a couple months ago, and I was waiting to use it in a message, and the Lord guided me to give it today. I love it because we see God's visible presence, the cloud. See, God was showing he was intimately dwelling among his people. It's a picture of God's faithfulness and a lesson to us that God never leaves or forsakes his people. He never left them. Now, we don't have the cloud visibly today, but what do we have within us? The Holy Spirit that indwells within us, that convicts us, guides us how to live life, guides us in what we should say, guide us in our actions. And the Holy Spirit is a picture of God's faithfulness to us, that he will never leave us as we walk this world. These verses repeatedly emphasize that they journeyed and camped at the Lord's command. They could not move on their own terms, nor could they stubbornly refuse to move when God told them to go. See, a requirement of the Lord guiding you is that it requires complete obedience. Not 50%, not 25%, not when you want to be obedient. If you want the Lord to truly guide you, it's 100% obedience in your life. And that's very challenging, isn't it? What else do these verses remind us? Well, they remind us that the Israelites had to wait. They had to surrender to God's timing. See, sometimes the cloud stayed for a single night, a few days, a month, or an entire year. This taught them patience and trust in God's schedules over their own desires. Another requirement, if you want the Lord to be the guide in your life, that it requires complete trust. Not 50%, not 25%, not when you want to trust, not when you use your own knowledge. No, it requires 100% trust. Now, the Lord doesn't lead in such a visible way today. I would love to walk out and see a cloud over my car. I might be a little scared, right? But God doesn't speak to us that way. We walk by faith, not by sight. But the principle is still valid. This portion of Scripture is still valid. When the Lord tells us to move, move. When he tells us not to move, don't. As Christians, we need to pause and always take time. Listen. Watch the Lord. Follow him. Let him be your guide. You know, when you read these portions of Scriptures, I was also thinking in my mind about how before the Israelites were on the way to the Promised Land, they first had to be rescued. Right? They were rescued by the Lord from Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And this is a picture of our own spiritual journey. The Lord wants to guide us until we reach our Promised Land of heaven. But we first, too, have to be rescued. You talk to someone in the world, and in theory, if you talk about God, hey, don't you want a higher power guiding you in your life and for your well-being and for the safety of your family and for your finances and your job? And I know a lot of people say, yeah, that sounds great. I'm all in. But it doesn't start with that. It starts, you have to be rescued first. You have to be saved first. The Israelites did not start their journey into the wilderness until they were saved from Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And then the Lord showed them that he was going to be their guide until he takes them to the Promised Land. It is the same with us. We had to be rescued, and praise God for the cross. We have been rescued from the dominion of darkness. We had our own Pharaoh and Egyptians. What is the dominion of darkness? It refers to the spiritual realm ruled by Satan. That's pretty powerful. It's pretty dark. That's pretty evil. It's not heaven where God is in control and over everything. Satan, that's his realm. And what does his realm contain? It's characterized by sin, spiritual blindness, and separation from God. But think about our lives when God rescued us. Sin is forgiven as far as east is the west. You were blind spiritually, now you see. And now we have a personal relationship with our Creator. And so because we have been set free, we've been rescued, we have the daily choice to let the Lord be the guide in our lives. Each of us have that personal choice. I wrote a devotion years ago, and it's always stayed with me, that if I wanted to advise somebody why I think they should let the Lord be the guide in their life, and I'm talking about Christians here, if it was an unsaved person, the first thing I would do is give them the gospel. Amen. Right? Make sure they're saved first. But if it's a believer and they wanted to have encouragement, this is the illustration that I would use. And so I'm going to ask you to use your sanctified imaginations today. And for those of us who have been around for a while, if you remember our dear brother Bill Murray is in heaven, who is an incredible elder and a mentor and a spiritual dad for some of us, Bill would often give his messages and say, use your sanctified imagination. He would do an illustration. So I'm going to do an illustration today. So say that you walk into a room. It's an empty room, and you have two chairs. And the chairs are facing a screen, much like a screen that is behind me. And you walk into this room, and the Lord is sitting down in one of the chairs. And he says, come, sit down and have a seat with you. I have a timeline that I want to show you. And we all know what a timeline is from school, or for those of you who paid attention. I didn't pay attention in school. I was one of those kids where when the teacher said, does anybody want extra credit? I was the kid who raised my hand and said, I got to bump up my grade. I always took advantage of extra credit. But a timeline, what is a timeline? It's a visual or chronological representation of a sequence of events. From one point to another, usually has a beginning to an end. And so you sit down by the Lord, and the Lord says, look at the screen. I have three points on the timeline, a beginning, a middle, and an end. And each one is represented by Scripture. And the Lord says, I want to be the guide of your life. Let me remind you who I am. Let me remind you of my promises. And then he asks you to read what is on the screen. The beginning of the timeline is Psalms 139. It's David's words of acknowledgement to the Lord. And the verses we're going to read are Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. And so you read in front of the Lord, picture your voice reading this. For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And so you read this portion of the scripture, and the Lord just simply looks at you and says these words, remember, I created you. Remember, I created you. Then he says, I got two more verses for you, portions of scripture, the middle and the end of the timeline. And he says to you before you read them, he says, you know, I wrote this portion of scripture for my people, the chosen people, the Israelites, when they were in exile. They're Old Testament verses. But he says to you, they're still applicable for your time, because now you're my chosen people in this day of grace. And these verses reflect my character and my care for his people. So they're still applicable for you today. And so he says, please read the middle verse. And it's one we know very, very well. Jeremiah 29:11. And the Lord says, will you read it? And so you read again using your voice. You read out loud Jeremiah 29:11 to the Lord. For it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. You know, a lot of young people need this verse starting out life. I think it's a very popular verse to show a young person starting their Christian life, or maybe a young teenager or a kid, But I tell you, it's still applicable no matter what age you are. And the Lord looks at you again with his loving eyes and says, I have plans for you. It doesn't matter how old you are, where you are in your life. He still has plans for you until the day he takes you home to the promised land. I think that's very encouraging. So he looks at you again and says, please read the last verse. And the last verse of the timeline is Isaiah 46, 4. And again, using your voice, reading to the Lord, you say out loud, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you. He reminds you he's your creator. And you continue, I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. Even to your old age and gray hairs. And the Lord looks at you again with his loving eyes and says, I will always be with you in this life. Every step you take. Until I take you to the promised land of heaven. So you can see this timeline. What a beautiful timeline. I love these verses. I'm glad the Lord gave them for me to put together and to share with you. Because they're wonderful words that he is our creator. They're wonderful words that he has plans for your life. They're wonderful words that he will faithfully sustain us. And so how can we not want the Lord to be the guide in our life? He's the ultimate guide. How could we refuse to trust and obey him? But as Christians, we struggle. Right? We struggle. But I'm telling you, I look back at my life and I am so grateful for the guidance of the Lord. You know, each of us here, the Lord guided us to this church. Some of us came with our families when we were little kids, but the Lord guided your parents, Caitlin. The Lord guided Jim and Kathy to come here. Some of you came without families, came as a single person. I came here as a person who didn't have a family. But God guided me here by his Holy Spirit. That's something to always be thankful for. Even the unsaved person is guided here. Isn't that great to think about that too? Because an unsaved person will say, and I've been there all, I got up this morning, I cleaned up, I got dressed, I drove in here. It was my decision to come to church. Not really. Not really. God, by his mercy, by his Holy Spirit, guided you to come. And many have come with that kind of attitude. And what happens through time? Praise God, they get saved. But I look at my life, look at the guidance through the years, and I know many can relate to these situations. The Lord guided my education. I was 2.5 years in my college education, and the Lord guided me to change my career. 2.5 years into it. It took me 2 years longer than I wanted to finish college. I wasn't happy about it. It was hard. But the Lord guided me to change, and I'm glad I did. The Lord guided me in my career where to work. He's guiding my marriage. God guided me to marry Caitlin. I praise God for that. God has guided me to how to raise my kids, right, parents? He will not be successful as a parent unless you have the Lord guiding you how to raise your kids. You need the wisdom, you need the strength, because it is hard to be a parent. God has guided my finances, how to spend my money, where to live, guiding me through different family situations, guiding me how to deal with grief. And guiding me through countless daily decisions. And I know many here understand that. Dear Sister Gloria, you lost your sister. You have our prayers for comfort and strength. Lord will guide you in your time of grief. And you'll have strength during this time, dear sister. But all of us here have daily decisions. You walk out today, you probably are thinking about what to have for lunch. Now, God probably doesn't care where you eat. But you can ask the Lord for guidance for food, right? But you all have big decisions to make. Right? So maybe you're thinking about a purchase. Maybe you're making about a job change. Countless decisions. God wants you to be the guy. He wants to be the guide in every single one. When the Lord is guiding our lives, we may not understand everything and have all the answers. There are seasons of waiting, and there are seasons of moving. But remember this. God guides you exactly where he wants you to be. Right? I got saved in college. If you asked me 30-some-odd years later that I would still be at a church, I would have thought you were crazy. I did not want to stay in this area. I did not want to stay in San Ramon Valley. I wanted to get away. But God wanted me here. And thank God he did enough in this stubborn brain that I am here. He knows what's best, doesn't he? Not what's best for your pocketbook. Not what's best for your career. Not what's best for you physically. What's best for you spiritually. There are spiritual lessons to be learned when he guides you. Blessings to be received. The Lord just wants us to continue to trust and obey him. He wants us to learn about him. I don't care how long you've been a Christian, there's always something to learn about the Lord. And he wants you to grow spiritually. No one's ever made it. If you think you've made it, you're gravely wrong, and God will show you. But through his guidance, what do we find? When you let the Lord be the ultimate guide in your life, when you're 100% obedient, when you're 100% trusting, what do you find? You find true peace, true happiness, true contentment. You may have wanted something, but the Lord's will is not that you have it. I've always wanted a full-court basketball hoop in my house. Caitlin laughs at me. We don't have a big enough yard for even a half-court. But I was years ago, I was watching Shaquille O'Neal. Everybody knows Shaquille O'Neal, the basketball player. They were showing his house on TV, and he had this indoor gym, a big full-court basketball hoop, and the middle had this big S for Superman, because I think he likes Superman. And I never watched it and think, that'd be cool to have. Have my own and put RP for Rick Punzo in the middle. But that's not God's will. I'm never going to get a full-court basketball hoop, and I'm joking, but you know my point. I can care less. If I want to play basketball, I'll go to Dave's house. Dave has a nice half-court hoop. And grab some of the guys, and we'll play at Dave's house. And Dave would gladly take me, right, Dave? But you know what I mean. When the Lord's the guide, you find true peace, happiness, and contentment. You see his faithfulness daily, and you don't forget it. And you're always reminded he's your hope, even in the hardest situations. I pray that I always have a heart to let the Lord be the guide in my life. And I pray that you all have the heart, a knowledge to him that you need him every day, every month, every year, every minute, second. Lord needs to hear our voice. Lord, I need you to be the guide in my life. He deserves the praise and the worship. He deserves the acknowledgement. And when the Lord says stop, what do? Stop. And when the Lord says go, you go. And when the Lord says yes, what do you say? Amen, I agree, Lord. And if the Lord says no, you say amen, Lord, I agree, no. And when God says wait, amen, Lord, I will wait as long as you want me to wait. Amen? My last portion of Scripture today is well-known verses from one of the first sections of Scripture that I read and memorized. It's in Proverbs chapter 3, 5 through 6. I read this, I got saved, and I read this as a young college kid, and boy, it's been one of my favorite verses. It's helped me so much. But we have to do our part in the relationship, right? Our relationship with the Lord, it's not just him doing everything. You have to do your part. And what is the Lord asking of us? Listen to the words that many of us know by heart. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, it says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. You got to give 100%. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Amen. How many of you have claimed these verses in your life? I can say amen. A lot would say that, right? Claimed it many times. What happens when we do not follow the Lord's guidance? Well, we have to talk about that. We show the Lord that we do not trust him. We show the Lord we do not want to obey him. Is that the type of Christians that we want to be? Lord, I'll let you guide 80%, but this point, we're showing the Lord we don't trust him. We don't want to obey him. The one who saved you, loves you, is preparing a place for heaven for you, who's always with you like Caitlin's song. And as Christians, we tell him that. I'm challenged. I'm convicted. This is why message came upon my heart. What are the consequences when you don't let the Lord be your guide? Now, I shared how I was thankful in areas that he was my guide, but I have not nailed this down. I've made mistakes. But these are the consequences, and I wrote them down. One, there are mistakes. I just said that. There are regrets. There are wasted time. There's failures. There's disappointment. There's discontentment. There's loss of blessings. you will dishonor the Lord. I want to honor the Lord in my life, and I pray the Lord helps all of us to honor Him. We all want to be a good example of how to live the Christian life in our homes, in the ministry God gives you. But we don't let Him be our guide. We can end up being an example of what not to do. I don't want people to look at my life and say, that's what not to do. Don't follow Rick, right? I want people to look at my life, and you agree the same. We're a blessing. That's how to live the Christian life. That's the right thing to do. Amen? So I pray that today's message encourages you, challenges you, makes you thankful. If you are a Christian today and you are letting the Lord be the guide of your life, then praise God. Continue to do so. Because when the spiritual battles happen, and they will, and they're probably happening now, I'm sure many can share what they're going through, and the enemy attacks with all his forces, just remember who your guide is. Satan can do nothing to you unless God allows it in His infinite wisdom. All right? He has no power. Remember to continue to trust and obey, not 50, not 25%, 100%. But if there's areas of your life where you're not letting the Lord be your guide, perhaps a situation you're struggling with, pause and think about it. Ask the question, why am I not letting the Lord be the guide of my life in this area? Am I putting me, myself, and I first? Am I putting my flesh? Am I leaning on my understanding? Pause, pray about it. Seek a godly person for any support that's needed. I encourage you to let the Lord be the guide in that situation, in that part of your life. Surrender it to Him. Trust and obey. And one thing I guarantee with all my heart, He will truly bless this area of your life when you do these things. So as we leave today and before we end in prayer, remember, there's no better guide than our Lord, our God, the one who created you, the one who rescued, redeemed you, the one who has plans for you. Everybody has plans until God takes you home, and a God who will always be with you until you reach your promised land of heaven. So praise the Lord. Amen. Trust and obey, and truly, He is the ultimate guide. Amen. Let's end in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we are just grateful for our time together today, Lord. We thank You that You are the ultimate guide, Lord. And many here can testify that they are so grateful that they have listened to Your voice, listened to Your guidance in their life. There's so many blessings that folks can raise their hand and said, the Lord guided me to this situation, or to buy this, or to live here. And we would just praise You all day, Lord, because You are the faithful guide. You truly are the ultimate guide. But Lord, we also are challenged, Lord, because we have a spiritual battle. We have our flesh. We have the enemy. And there's times in our life we may not let You be the guide. We may not follow You 100% or trust You, Lord. Show us, Lord. Convict us. Help us to surrender it to Your feet. Help us to trust and obey, Lord. And we know by faith You will bless us in this area spiritually, Lord. And Lord, as we walk out these doors today, we just pray that You would use this message for Your glory. Maybe meditate on it, chew on it, use it for Your glory in our lives. And protect us, Lord, on the road, Lord, until we meet again on Wednesday or Sunday. We ask for Your protection. Give us all a good afternoon wherever we're going, Lord. And again, Lord, we thank You that we're never alone, Lord, like the song that Caitlin sang today. We praise You, Lord. We thank You for our salvations. We thank You for the cross. We thank You for heaven, our promised land, that one day, Lord, we will be in Your presence forever. So as we end in prayer, we praise You, Lord, in Your most precious and holy name. Amen.